My name is Joe Gallia, President of Member Solutions. I'm here today with advisory team member Chuck Heacock. We're going to be presenting Making Your Dojo More Inviting. We'll talk a little bit about that subject and what that means. For those of you that do not know Chuck, Chuck is the Director of Sales for Krav Maga Worldwide, and he is a consultant in the health club industry, where what makes, I think, Chuck very unique is that he has such a strong experience in martial arts and health clubs, and there's so much overlap in terms of ideas and ways to be successful. And I think he brings a unique flavor to consulting in our industry, and certainly we've enjoyed having him. And at the latest, he was a presenter at the Member Solutions Business Boot Camp that we had just outside Philadelphia back on February. So it's great to have you with us here today, Chuck. We appreciate it.
Oh, it's great to be here. I always look forward to this stuff. Test my mind a little bit.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of fun, and I think the topic is very interesting because as school owners, we tend to, you know, show up at our school every day, and, you know, it looks the same to us, but it may not look the same to individual prospects and such. So, you know, I thought maybe you could start off by explaining to us, you know, what do you mean about making your dojo more inviting?
Absolutely. I mean, you got to remember to, I mean, what a good phrase or a good term would be an army term, which is always remember that routine is your worst enemy. And by making it more inviting, it's, we get stuck in a routine. We get stuck in either good habits or bad habits. And there's a few drills that you can do to make sure that your dojo is inviting. One of the things I do with when I do my health club consulting, and I've never been to the place before, is I'll have an individual school owner take a picture of the front of their facility and show it to people outside the world. So someone at the high school or the grade school, somebody at their spouse's office, and take a look at it and ask them a simple question is, you know, would you be intimidated, afraid, intrigued to walk into this place? And if that answer is no, I mean, it really means you need to buckle down and find out what becomes, how to make that more inviting and make it look better in some extent, or make it look more appealing to the general public, and you can ask questions of what would make you want to walk into a martial arts school to an individual that said no, they would be afraid to walk in. Think of it as if you were shopping for a hotel or a restaurant, you were out of town and you were thinking of staying somewhere or eating somewhere, and you look at it on the internet and say, nah, I don't want to go there. It doesn't look like it's a nice place. You know, a friend of mine just recently told me, you can't judge a book by its cover, but unfortunately the internet has really changed that quote, is people will judge a book by its cover because they have such handy tools in their vehicle, such handy tools on their phone of being able to look at something before they approach it.
That's a great point. I mean, back in the day, if you wanted to look something up, you went to the Yellow Pages, chances are, you know, they didn't really have an ad or a picture, so there'd be, you know, a couple of lines or maybe a small ad, and you pick up the phone and call, and your first impression was how nice the voice was on the other side. Were they going to be accommodating? Now, go online, you know, you could be right there looking at really the front door, and if that doesn't look good to you, you may never get to the point of phoning or showing up at the hotel, restaurant, or in this case, the martial arts school.
No, and a point well taken. In many cases, even with the, not so much in the health club business, but in the martial arts schools, I still will call martial arts schools and upon their request to talk about information about adding either consulting services or Krav Maga to their school, and I get an answering machine or I get no one to answer at all. That still happens, which makes that invitation impossible to take. The welcome, the invitation is there, but the welcome is not.
Right.
Without a welcome, you're really blown. If anybody's still doing that, it's a horrible
a horrible way when we can forward any phone to our cell phones and always have a happy voice at the other end. You know, it's in the middle of the day, it could be in the morning, it's never going to be a good time for it, but it is a prospect, and that invitation is open, and you got to be on the top of your game every time you answer that phone.
So you're looking, when you refer to the term as making your dojo more inviting, you're saying, hey, interactions that are going to take, whether you're looking at the outside of the school, your experience when you first walk in, you're picking up the telephone and calling, is that experience for the other person going in such a way that people will feel inclined to follow through?
Well, of course. First impression is everything. You cannot replace the first impression, but on top of it, I mean, a comparison would be at an eatery, at a restaurant. When you walk in and you get the big warm welcome, and the maitre d' or the owner of the restaurant comes out and says, hello, hey, Joe, how are you? You know, how are the kids? How have you been? And even the experience might be mediocre. The food was not so good. The air conditioning in the restaurant wasn't working. But because you had the big warm fuzzy feeling, you're more apt to go back to a restaurant or to any place because you got that warm fuzzy feeling compared to a place that everything went right, but the waiter or the maitre d' was dry. They were not inviting. They were not happy. It was not a pleasurable experience on the warm and fuzzy side. People love the warm and fuzzy side.
Now, what are some of the things that you've done in taking this and making your dojo more inviting concept? What are a few things, top five things that you always make sure are perfectly in place so that experience is top notch?
When it comes to reoccurring members, people that have been with us for a long time, it's sending them using the front desk software as a tool, making sure that they're getting a birthday card, making sure that my front desk, everybody swipes their card and somebody is there to say hello to them by their first name. How you been? I haven't seen you in a while. You look good, man. You look like you lost some weight. Always complimenting them and making sure there's an invite coming back in the minute they walk in the door. Another tool, probably number two, is when we're closing a class, when an instructor is closing a class, wrapping up a class, is they're telling them what they're going to be doing on Tuesday if it's Monday, or they're going to be telling them what they're doing on Thursday if it's Tuesday. If I'm teaching a class on Monday and I teach Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'm going to give them a little hint of what they'd look forward to on Wednesday. So you're planting a seed to make them automatically come back.
That's excellent because, again, you know, I was thinking from the prospect's perspective, but even the member who's there and going back and forth, they need a reason to feel welcome back each time.
And the prospect will feel that if there's a prospect in the room as well.
Right.
And another trick I do with, and I don't know if it's a trick, but another thing that I'll do, I'll be talking to a prospect about a membership, and I'll have an old member walk in that I've not seen in a while. I will actually stop my sales presentation, go say hello to the member, come back to the prospect, excuse myself, and say, you know, so I apologize, but I had to say hello to that guy. He's such a great member. He's accomplished such great goals. And I haven't seen him in a while, so I was a little worried about him. And that gives them, you know, they get a little perturbed, and then you take it away, and then they feel like, hey, that guy will go the extra mile for me. You know, that's what that guy cares more about his existing people than he does about somebody new coming in. And it sounds a little weird, but it actually works. It actually works better than a lot of things I've done in the past. And
you're demonstrating personal attention, and that the member is the most important thing, and now this person wants to become a member.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, some of the things that to talk about the prospect that are important is, you know, it becomes a sales tool more than an invitation. But every time you got to remember, every time you put an invite out to someone, is you really open yourself up to somebody from the outside world coming in your world, by definition of invite, and you open yourself up to criticism by somebody you don't know. So it's your job to make sure that you throw as much ammunition as you can, that there is never a question about your credibility or their ability to be able to get the results that they're looking for. So your invitation can't be just a card. Your invitation has to be a singing card, a talking card, and a question answering card. So when they redeem their invitation to the front, it actually has a substantial value.
And let me ask you your opinion on this, because back, you know, a decade ago, you know, everybody, regardless of what style you taught, you either had karate or you had taekwondo on your sign, because that was the magical phrase that let people know that there's a martial arts training facility, and that's, you know, what was popular. Today we're seeing a lot more people advertising mixed martial arts and getting that out there in terms of name in print. But what about the storefront from the outside in general? Because most people don't really understand style. You know, they might understand MMA because, like, it's in the news a lot.
It's eclectic. It's like a round circle. It has no edges. So yeah, I'm sorry, but the MMA part.
Yeah, I mean, so I wonder about, you know, what are the things that, you know, besides what name someone's going to put on the shingle or the sign, what should the front of that school look like, in your opinion, so that it has the best marketing effect?
Well, I mean, first of all, I mean, and what we'll find out at the end of this month again is when the Karate Kid movie hits, is that the kid, the mom, the dad, unless they've studied martial arts before, will not know the difference between Kung Fu and Taekwondo. They just are not educated enough to know. When it comes to a specific sport like boxing, they understand that boxing is different than kickboxing. But when it comes to martial arts, everything goes in this pool of karate. So karate is what I would consider on my sign would be a dangerous word. You know, I leave a generic term of martial arts on the front of the school, in a subcategory in the front of the school, whatever systems I teach. But the main focus is what they're going to get when they walk in the door. You know, there's health clubs will use things like, you know, family fitness centers, because the whole family's invited to come in. In a martial arts school, obviously, we can't put a family fitness center up. We're not big enough to do that and there's a number of reasons, but I would feel safe to say, on my sign, it'll say self-defense, fitness, and fighting. And those are my terms on the front of the building, along with, you know, Shin's family martial arts. That's what my sign says. It doesn't say anything about Taekwondo. It doesn't say anything about Krav Maga and the Vicks. It says fitness, fighting, and self-defense.
Which you determine are the key words that, based on where your school's located, what's going to attract people to inquire, and then does it look inviting, and will people approach it? And that's a separate thing altogether. That's look and feel, in a sense.
Well, it is look and feel. I mean, one of the biggest searched words on the internet is diet, fitness, and weight loss. Are huge. So if whatever's being searched on the internet is going to tell me what folks are looking for. Now, do I want to take away credibility from my martial arts program to be a weight loss center or a cardio center? Absolutely not.
okay, but I need to get the prospect in the door. And I need to make it inviting to them so it's not so intimidating. I mean, I've been to martial arts schools all over the world. And I've seen skull and crossbones. I've seen knives on the front of the building. I've seen blood dripping off the logos. I've seen, you know, signs that say throw up here. None of those places I would ever send my wife into or my children.
Another popular one is the trophies in the window as well. You know, that's, you know, if you're a martial artist and you see that, thinking, oh, okay, wow, you know, that school competes and they have some guys that have won some tournaments there, that's pretty impressive. The average person looks at that, and I've actually asked, because I've always thought that was interesting to have trophies in the window, and most people actually feel a little intimidated about it, thinking, wow, those guys are, like, really, really good, and, you know, geez,
yeah, I have to
beginner
perform
forever.
At top level. Yeah, I have to perform at top level to walk into the school.
Exactly. Exactly. Doesn't have a good feeling for the beginner, and that's who you want to walk in. Your students will walk in every day if the classes are high energy and they're having a good time, but the prospect needs to feel comfortable walking in, and you know, you made me think about the trophies, because I've seen that on a lot of school storefronts.
Well, there's a general rule as an invitation, people do not like clutter. They do not like to see a group of trophies. For the most part, almost every martial arts school, and again, this is, you know, just me, I walk in and those trophies have not been dusted in 10 years.
Yeah.
And, you know, the window hasn't been cleaned because they can't get to the window because the trophies are in the way. So it has a tendency to be a clutter, and folks do not like clutter. I mean, people do not like to walk into anything claustrophobic. I mean, if you notice now, the clothing stores, they have less money to buy inventory, but they're not stuffing clothing stores so full of stuff that people feel claustrophobic. People don't buy when it's claustrophobic. They want to get out of there. Another thing that's totally uninviting, and I see it all the time. In fact, the dojo just down literally a 3-minute walk from my house has their business desk. You walk in, and it's a business desk, and it's got bills, and it's got order forms, and it's got clutter all over the front desk as soon as you see this guy where he does his paperwork right in the front of the building. Clutter is not inviting at all. And I told him, dude, why don't you just get an office down the street? They're like $300. You can get an office and put your desk over there, and then you're not ever bothered by people. No, I like it here. Okay.
Now, let me interrupt, and I won't say the client here just because I don't know whether they'd want me to say it, but in response to what I had said, this client says, hey, most of the walk-ins in my school said they were attracted by the trophies. You know, am I the exception to the rule? Well, that's interesting. I mean, maybe, you know, maybe there are people that are attracted to that, and it's a good thing. I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably a really good question to get people thinking about. If you're receiving walk-ins because of that, you know, geez, I wouldn't change. But if you're receiving a couple here and there, you know, you may want to ask yourself, what about the people that aren't coming in, and do you think that maybe that number would be higher? It's hard to tell. There are some nice trophies, and there's a lot of things that are going on in a storefront that is in addition to the trophies. If the trophies are displayed nice and it looks
like presentation.
Yeah, I mean, all those things are going to contribute greatly to it. So I just wanted to point out the note, because, you know, there might be other people out there saying, geez, you know, putting trophies in my window seems to have helped. But, I don't, you know, this is opinion, guys, and that's why we love to get the feedback. And I would say, you know, if anybody wants to throw their opinion, a couple places to do this would be on our blog, membersolutions.com. We can actually even post a question up and give everyone opportunity to say, hey, what's everybody's opinion about, you know, trophies in the storefront? And let's see if we can get a bunch of clients responding to it, because I think that's, you know, the answer will come from that. So, you know, look for that. We'll see if we can get something up today or tomorrow and give someone a place to post their comment or additional questions. We'll get some networking on that particular subject.
And what we did with our few trophies, because we had a ton of them, but what we did with the few trophies that we have, we kept the bigger ones and we made a Hall of Fame in the back of the dojo.
Oh, that's interesting.
So on our tour, we actually show that the tournaments that we've won and the placements and the plaques and the students that have achieved, high school medals and things like that in the competition.
Oh, you even extend it beyond the earnings of, you know, what they did in martial arts. You'll invite them to bring their awards and rewards down to the school and share with the rest of the students.
Well, we stress to anybody that walks in the front door, we're going to make them better than when they walked in. And that means they're going to be a better football player, better soccer player. They're going to be a better swimmer, gymnast, whatever they choose to do in their next stage of life, is that they're going to be better because they walked in our front door. Coordination is, I owe martial arts, the coordination that my kids have, I owe it all to martial arts. And they're great athletes.
Right.
It certainly didn't come from me.
But that's another good point too, because now, you know, when a lot of people view sports as, you know, as a competition, because if they're doing sports, they're not doing martial arts. You know, I've talked to a bunch of clients over the years that, you know, I don't think I'm here without ice hockey. I mean, I got involved in martial arts because of hockey. And the people that I've told the story to, it's really long, so I won't tell it here, but, you know, I believe that martial arts makes you a better athlete, and, you know, and if you're, I think it's a great idea to have your students who are successful in sports bring and share their success, because then other parents see that, well, hey, I don't have to quit martial arts because my son's doing soccer or you know, my daughter's doing lacrosse or whatever the case may be. It's like, hey, I want to get a trophy and bring it in and put it here too. So that's a great idea, Chuck.
Yeah, it really goes deeper than that too, because when they see that kids that graduated from us are getting scholarships, athletic scholarships, there's really no question at all about signing their kid up with us.
Right.
So, and that's a Hall of Fame. When they get a scholarship to play rugby, or they get a scholarship to play basketball, or, you know, we just got a girl that's got a full ride to Oregon State to play to softball. We trained her from the age of, before I had the dojo, we trained her from the age of 7 to the age of 14, when full-time softball took over. But she still comes in and still trains with us when she can, and she got a full ride to Oregon State.
Wow. That's great. All right, well, hey, we'll get back on to...
get back on track. But that's what's inviting. Inviting means that you can put things in there that makes people want you more, that they feel welcome, and it's not just, hey, you know, I'd love you to come to my dojo and hand them a business card. It doesn't work that way. It's the whole presentation when they walk in the front door. You know, are the mirrors clean? Are the windows in the front clean? You know, is your front desk staff always happy and alert? Are they welcoming people back? Are they inviting them into seminars and things like that you have? Are you sending emails out when they don't come in? Those are all things that become invitations. And I don't know if everybody knows. I mean, I've been doing this for a really long time, and I started when I was 15 years old working at Jack Elaine's European Health Spa in Burbank, California. And I just celebrated my 30th year of selling memberships about 10 days ago. And I was taught from this, every day you wake up, it's service, 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 service. and it's provided me with a very luxury. I have a very good life. And how I got it was making sure all my invitations are open. I always try and extend the extra hand to help people. And, you know, you work hard and smart at the same time.
And as far as the, I mean, I you've expanded the inviting concept, so my head's kind of going.
Yeah, no, I sorry about that.
Oh, that's great, because I kind of went into it a little bit more narrow focus, and you expanded it, and I think that's an important thing. So, you know, I would imagine then that your front desk staff, your people, are a really important part of bringing that all together. So the first thing is, what are they doing specifically? Because I know you, and you have a system for this. So what are they doing specifically? And then how are you training them?
I train my front desk staff like they're going to be salespeople. So I give them every single day, everybody that works for me gets a five-minute email, a five-minute read, and it teaches them how to be better every day. It has a quote, a motivational quote. It tells them what's on the calendar today of today's tax day, so they be careful that things would be slow. And so instead of sitting around, you know, I give them tasks to do. I tell them to make 20 phone calls instead of 10 phone calls. So every day they get a task list sent out to them at 5 o'clock in the morning. When they wake up, they have a five-minute read. There's a sales tip and a sales lesson every single day that they get. And that's how I train my front desk people. Now, when they get to work, on Mondays they have an assigned task list. They send out all the birthday cards on Monday. So anybody that's in the system that has a birthday coming, it's their job to make sure that that's an envelope and ready to go on Mondays. On Tuesdays, we do absolutely anybody that has not been in the facility for 60 days or more. Where are you? Send them an email. Boom, zap them. Okay. On Wednesdays, we look and see who's not bringing referrals. Referrals go. On Thursdays, we pick up lead boxes and lead slips, business card holders, things like that. And on Fridays, we just get ready for birthday parties and things of that nature. But that, we have a task list every single day for them to do. So when that person walks in the front, everything's already done. When your prospect walks in, I don't have anybody mailing out letters. Their focus 100% is saying hello to that prospect, getting ready for class, introducing to the instructor. When the class is over, the instructor will come and say, hey, you know, Joe did a great job today. You know, I'm going to let Amy talk to you about memberships right now. Great job, Joe. Shake Joe's hand. The instructor's gone. Now it's the salesperson's, you know, job. The front desk people will watch to make sure nobody's leaving. That was a prospect that might have got away from the instructor. But to make sure that the whole staff is on the same idea of welcome, 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 we want to help you.
So it's really about a very consistent message in everything that you're doing, from the way the school looks to the way they're treated, to the advertising and marketing that you do. I would assume that there is a consistent parallel there, that your branding, everything comes together with this being a fun and inviting type of business, a type of school.
Absolutely. The only advertising we do television commercials 4 months out of the year, and we do internet advertising every day. And everything is branded as being fun, happy, and results. And it's always consistent, and that's the front desk job. If they're having a bad day, they go home. If I see somebody get into a fight with their boyfriend or girlfriend, and I can see they got a frown on their face, off they go. They are not allowed in the door.
And these are, you know, these are definitely important items, and you wonder, you know, our prospects and students, are they seeing and paying attention to it? They absolutely are. I mean,
it's contagious
for the day. That, you know, it's a really good point to be reminded about that, especially, you know, parents parents are sometimes in class, they're sitting there and they're watching the class. You know, what else do they have to do? The phone rings, someone answers the phone. You know, they kind of look over at the person. Does the person look like they're happy in servicing that person, you know? What's the image that they're going to have in their mind if they have to call the school and talk to that person? You know, are they going to have that person, you know, frowning and scowling and maybe even being angry? Or so that's, you know, those are good points. There's a lot of little things like that that go in to making the school just an inviting place to be.
No, absolutely. You know, and again, that's. Well, you know, when I started training sales staff, I used to do it, and personnel, I used to throw them a big book and test them on it, and, you know, I found it was really no different than how I got better at anything, how I got better at baseball, how I got better at soccer, is I only got better by practicing every day for a little bit. And that's the method I took on teaching people how to sell and teaching people how to run the front desk, is I actually took it and give them a little bit every day, so it's absorbed and it's utilized every single day a little bit. And at the end of the first 3, 6, or 9 months, I have a great, highly skilled person at the front desk that's ready to start selling memberships, because I take that very seriously. Selling a membership to me, every time somebody walks in that front door, they're worth, you know, $2,212, and that's how much money I make on the average client in the first year. And I absolutely posit that's with Pro Shop, that's with bell testing, that's with everything. That's how much the average person is worth to me. I will not ever put up with somebody being uninviting to $2,212.
And you know the other thing, you know, it's funny. The other thing is, it shouldn't be hard to interact with your business, right? So we're looking at it, hey, let's make it more inviting. Let's make sure that, you know, our clients feel like they can be drawn into what we want them to do and where we're doing it. And, you know, looking at it from their perspective, it's, hey, is it easy or is it hard to do business with you? You know, Pro Shop, you mentioned that. Is it easy or is it hard to go buy something? You know, is someone available at the end of the class, if mom or dad or student wants to pick something up, you know, what about events? Is it easy or is it difficult to register for an event? Giving ourselves a little Member Solutions event manager plug, but you know, the harder it is for people to do things, the less chance you have of it actually happening, because people want convenience and flexibility today. And they expect things to be easy, and it should be easy. We're taking their money. So, that you know, that's a great point that you're making, because you're reminding me about all the things that are going on in the school. You know, you're not going to increase retail sales if your Pro Shop is difficult to work with. That's for sure.
Yeah, I don't know, 30, 40 years ago, maybe 45 years ago, McDonald's made eating easy. After that, the world's kind of gone downhill. Everything has to be easier, or else people will not do it.
That's great. So what I'm going to do, you know, as you make some final points, Chuck, is just to invite people on the web. If they would like to throw some questions, I'll be sure to ask them for you. And we'll get ready to take us off of lecture mode, so if any of our phone people have a question, they can ask as well.
Yeah, I would open up straight to questions. I mean, the point, I mean, I'll just start going around in circles. Otherwise, with the invite is it's more in depth than just saying hello is the point of topic.
Absolutely, and it's not just what the front door looks like, so to speak. So it's the entire relationship and interaction. So it was really great. I'm opening up the phone lines, and if anyone has a question for Chuck, you may ask now. I think I've taken it off. Yes, I have. I guess we were pretty comprehensive. I will go and check on questions from.
If you guys come up with questions later, probably the fastest way to reach me is my website is called betterdojo.com. Pretty easy to remember.
Okay, Chuck, I have a question here, and you mentioned, I'll try to paraphrase it here, you mentioned about, you know, teaching fitness. Is there anything that should be displayed to show fitness, but also not take away from the main curriculum, which is teaching martial arts?
Well, the easiest way to display it without taking too much credibility away is to make a small DVD that you can play and on any TV. You can do this on a Macintosh computer, and now you can do that for almost next to nothing with the new Mac that just came out. And what you'll do is you'll feature all the belt testing and all your traditional martial arts, and then throw a fitness component in toward the end of it, maybe in the middle of it, to give them a flavor of that there's something there for everyone. So you're not over-broadcasting that it is a fitness studio. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with it. I mean, if you think about the last time and again, you guys don't have to teach that class. I mean, there's plenty of people out there looking for work, and they may even be some of your students. But my point is, when you were getting ready for a competition, I mean, some of you may even still be competing, what type of shape were you in, and what kind of workout did you do? You do not have to do a Tai Bo workout. You can do the workout that you did to prepare yourself for a tournament. You can build your own workout. As long as the end result is that it doesn't take credibility away from your school, it doesn't take credibility away from your art, and it's something you believe in and you do yourself, then share it.
Excellent. I have another question here, and this one's interesting because, you know, we definitely expanded the viewpoint on what we mean by making a dojo more inviting. So this question is, do you think I'll read it exactly as it states here. Would you rather charge a membership with testing included, or should testing be separate? So, you know, normally I think that, you know, is an extraneous, I guess, to the inviting statement. But, you know, it is a hot topic for a lot of people where, hey, is it more inviting to have testing included with the membership, or is it something that I should charge extra for? What's the most, I guess, invitational approach?
It's a great question. And what we do is the entry-level memberships, the white belt club, for lack of a better term, those are testing is not included in the membership. It's an easy way to get them into a membership. That membership at our school is $150 a month. Now, when they upgrade to an elite team, their membership goes up to $200 a month and their testing is included.
Got it. Okay, well, I hope that answers your question. And let me make sure there's here's a couple more that have come in. We're on a roll now, Chuck.
French roll, good.
actually, someone from out west wanted to have you repeat your email address again.
Okay, better, BETTER, dojo, DOJO, .com. Is the website, and there's a space on there. You can just email me. It goes right to my phone.
Okay, yep, and he did actually say to repeat the website, and I thought he meant email. So thanks for that. And then I have another one here. It says, we teach Krav Maga. Many gyms and dojos are male-dominated. Can you suggest any specific marketing strategies for bringing women into the gym?
Well, I mean, it depends on what their demographic is, and it depends on how hard they're teaching classes. So it's not common for this to happen, especially with the striking art. You'll see this in Muay Thai. You'll see this in Krav Maga. You'll see this in boxing gyms. When people get hit, the females have a tendency to drop off rather quickly. So a couple different options that you can do. Add a larger fitness component. Is one easy one. Add women-only self-defense classes. And I have some opposition to that simply because at some point they need to be weaned off the women's-only classes because they're not more than likely they're not going to be attacked by another 115-pound person. But it's a good way to get the program some legs. So some self-defense, female self-defense seminars. This particular month is sexual assault month. So it's an easy way to get your name out and do some fundraising for some local women's charities. We still have a half a month left, so it's not too late. And it's really never too late to even say that, you know, it was in April. Who cares? Still, you can get the people in. But, you know, you have to make the, back to the invitation, it has to be something that a female can handle. If the class is over their, and it has to be a class that a guy can handle. If it's over their head, you know, I tell people, look, man, you walk into that room, the water's deep and it's cold. Be careful you don't drown when they walk into an advanced fight class. I don't try and make that class inviting. I have to make them aware of what they're walking into prior to walking into it. But that's for an advanced student. And I don't want that class to necessarily be inviting to everybody that walks in the front door. But getting a woman in the door really has to do with your appearance. You have to look at and see what the dojo looks like. You know, it's a loaded question how to get more women in there. I can say advertise to more females, but it doesn't work that way. I would actually have to take a minute to find out what their class schedule is and find out where the problem is instead of just shooting, you know, blurting out more suggestions, because it gets a little more in-depth immediately when trying to get ladies in the door.
Sure, and you know, by all means, you can certainly you know, send Chuck some information about your school, and you know, he'll be happy to assist. And yeah, you know,
if they're Krav Maga school, they probably know him, so
exactly. So, well, you know, I this was a really a good unique topic, because it takes something which really sounds like it's basics, but really it encompasses every aspect of your business, from marketing and acquiring students to retaining them. So it's an important subject, and I'm glad we had a chance to cover it. What I'm going to do is I'm going to speak with our marketing department and get them to post the blog on the trophy question. I think that'll be kind of a fun thing to do. And we'll send everyone who registered for this event an email with the link so that you guys will know exactly when that question is posted. And would love to just get some feedback. You know, what's your opinion about trophies? And I think that the blog is a great tool for clients to put up some ideas and thoughts. And if you have a question that you would like to see answered on the blog, you can send an email to consulting@membersolutions.com, and we'll try to get them up there for you, because really the power of networking is so important. And if we can get some good debates and different opinions, I know it'll help a lot of people who are looking at it come to, you know, making better decisions. So we get all the points out there, and it should be a fun way to network. Well, we're doing real well. I think we got through all the questions and all the topics, so just if anyone has any additional afterthoughts, please don't hesitate to visit the website and communicate with Chuck. You can always send an email to asktheadvisoryteam@membersolutions.com, and if you want, you could put it to Chuck's attention, and we'll route it to him for you as well. And, Chuck, thanks again for a great talk.
My pleasure. And, you know, just to let everybody know, any question that you have, I mean, you got to remember, I'm a health club guy first. I ran health clubs for 15 years. And that's where my approach is a little bit different than just a dojo-only perspective.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much, everyone. We really appreciate you coming out and supporting the webinars. And we have a great...
My pleasure. Anytime,
great exciting man. Schedule of additional speakers, and so keep in touch with us, and we'll hear you again soon. Have a great day.
All right. Everybody have a great day now. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye.